Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
You're welcome back to Drive Time. In a statement this evening, the government said it didn't ask President Michael D. Higgins not to attend a church service marking the centenaries of the partition of Ireland and the formation of Northern Ireland. The leader of the DUP, Geoffrey Donaldson, called on Mr. Higgins to reconsider his decision and attend the service, describing it as regrettable and a retrograde step that was based on politics. Geoffrey Donaldson joins me now, and you're very welcome to the programme, Mr. Donaldson.
Good evening.
You probably know the President, Michael D. Higgins, is currently on a four-day visit to Rome. I think he's meeting with the Italian president today. So he hasn't yet responded to this controversy. What are your concerns, though, about his decision to decline this invitation?
Well, first of all, let me say that when I chaired the World War I Centenary Committee, we worked very closely with President Higgins and with the Irish government in marking the centenary of that conflict and recognising that it was part of our shared history. And I think everyone made a huge effort to ensure that it was done in a dignified and inclusive way. And so I think it's disappointing that we reached the stage in our journey where we can't mark the centenary of Northern Ireland without this sort of situation where the president, whether he's been given advice or otherwise, and I can't be sure about that, feels that it is not an event that he can attend. I mean, the service is not to mark 100 years of partition. It's to mark 100 years of the existence of Northern Ireland. Now, I know that occurred because at the time...
It's one of the same thing, isn't that right?
Between the, yes, that's one of the consequences.
And when but, you say you don't...
How much longer are we going? We reached a situation where... the Irish Constitution was changed to reflect the fact that the reality that Northern Ireland exists. So if the Constitution now reflects the reality that Northern Ireland exists, why is it inappropriate to mark its existence?
Are you not making suppositions there? And you say you don't know if he's, you're not sure if he's being advised or not. You accept the veracity of the statement issued by the Irish government this evening, though, that they didn't ask Michael D. Higgins not to attend.
Well, the Irish Constitution says that the President acts on the advice of the government. So, you know, when they say the Irish government says they haven't instructed the President not to attend, I have to take that at face value.
Mm-hmm.
But in the absence of an explanation from anyone as to why this decision was taken, you can understand why there are many people in Northern Ireland who feel perhaps somewhere in the middle of all of this there is politics. And, you know, I think it would be better all around if at least let's be honest with each other.
Well, are you not
If the president can't attend or won't attend the event, then let's have an honest explanation as to why that is so that we can at least understand the reasons why. And maybe in the future we can find a way of addressing that.
But are you not making a big leap there? You have, on the one hand, pointed to his record on cooperation and his attendance at various official events previously. And on the other hand, in a vacuum, without his explanation, you're jumping to the conclusion that it's on with a political head that he's deciding not to go.
No, I'm simply saying that in Northern Ireland, I'm reflecting the reality that as I've listened to conversation today, people are speculating that politics may be involved. I am caveating what I'm saying, and I'm urging the President to make a clear statement as to the reasons why he is unable to attend so that we can clear this up. I don't think that's an unreasonable approach to take.
One of the Irish political party leaders, AIMTHU leader Padraig Tobin, said today that there isn't a president in the world who would attend an event to mark the partition of his country. Does he not have a point as well?
Well, it depends on your perspective. If that's the case, then you know, what's the point of the Good Friday Belfast Agreement? It recognised the existence of Northern Ireland. So, you know, if we haven't moved beyond that sterile old debate, we're going to get bogged down in what happened 100 years ago. And if we can't agree our shared history, then, you know, I pose the question to Pater and others, how on earth are we going to build a shared future if that's how far behind we are on this?
I wonder,
unionism is trying to rise above its concerns and address, and you know, how we build reconciliation in Northern Ireland after 30 years of an intensive and very painful conflict. We're trying, we're sitting in government, we're trying to work things out, and yet, you know, with people saying, well, I'm sorry, but we can't attend a church service hosted by the four main churches, which incidentally are churches representing the whole of the island, a service that is for, which is described as for hope and reconciliation. If we can't do that, then my goodness, we have a long, long way to go.
Can I ask
on this
you, okay,
to get reconciliation?
Can I ask you a speculative, admittedly, but a comparative question? If there were to be, and you'll have to play along with me here, but if there were to be a United Ireland, let's say in 2031, would you attend a commemoration service for its existence in 2032?
Well, first of all, let me say this is not a commemoration service. It's a service of hope and reconciliation to mark the centenary of Northern Ireland. Even the Alliance Party says they don't understand why President Higgins won't attend this.
I understand,
service.
But okay, so let's say, but the same question, that so if there were to be United Ireland in 2031, and some people believe that it may come within that time frame, would you attend a hope and reconciliation service of a similar nature to mark its existence in 2032?
Well, the first thing I would say is, what kind of a United Ireland is it going to be when people aren't prepared at this stage even to recognise the existence of Northern Ireland itself?
Did you attend any centenary services for 1916?
I'm asking a more fundamental question. I'm not going to go down the road of supposition. I'm asking a here and now question, a fundamental question for me as a unionist. How can the Irish Republic hope to accommodate me, my tradition, my culture and my identity when the head of state isn't even prepared to attend a church service on hope and reconciliation, which is about recognising and marking the existence of Northern Ireland?
Well, we don't know that.
Well, and that's why I've asked.
Okay, for clarity. But just in the interest
this is the case.
In the interest of clarity, then, and to clear it up, and you won't answer the speculative question, and that's fair enough.
Let me answer this question for you. I'll answer the question this way. When they were marking the reopening of Daniel O'Connell's Tower at Glasnevin Cemetery, I was invited to attend an event which, you know, could hardly be described as a unionist event in any shape whatsoever. I attended that event. I represented my tradition because I recognised that in the interests of reconciliation, we need to rise above our own political feelings and recognise there are more than one tradition on this island, that there is more than one identity on this island. And we talk a lot about accommodation. So, yes, I think I've stepped up to the mark. When I've been invited to do things that are difficult, I have done it because I sought to rise above politics and to recognise that it is respect. It is respect, mutual respect, that should be the mark of how we live alongside each other. I'm afraid on this occasion, I don't think that has been met.
Okay, the line isn't great, but I do want to ask you about some breaking news that is a little bit worrying because health authorities in Northern Ireland have asked for up to 100 British military medics to be deployed to help hospitals deal with the ongoing impact of the COVID pandemic. Are you concerned about COVID levels and this latest development in Northern Ireland?
Yes, we are, and we're working closely with the Minister of Health and the Chief Medical Officer to address this, and I welcome the additional support that we will have from Army medics. I think that's really important. They'll be deployed in Belfast City Hospital and the Ulster Hospital, that extra help will ease the pressure on a very hard-pressed health service at this time.
Okay. Is there any inkling in your thinking now that Northern Ireland reopened, lifted restrictions 3 or 4 weeks too early, as some people have suggested?
I'm not so sure that is the reason why we are where we are. I think that in the end, we all have to act responsibly. The guidance is still there of what we hope people will do. And I encourage people to continue doing that. Where I think we could improve is in encouraging more people to take the vaccination, for example, because I think that would make a difference. And many of the people at the moment who are in ICU or in COVID wards haven't taken the vaccination when it's been available. And certainly we're doing all we can to encourage people to proceed with the vaccination.
Okay, we'll leave it there for the moment. But DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson, thank you very much indeed for joining us on Drive Time.